院副驻青谈联合欧洲盟友应对中国。纽约民众集会抗议歧视亚裔。流亡港人呼吁美国政府回应47名香港泛民人士被控违反国安法。
3月1号星期一，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。拜登总统表示将在周一公布对沙特的政策，美国国会呼吁拜登政府坚持人权立场。另外，国会通过了1.9万亿美元的纾困法案，拜登总统呼吁参议院也尽速通过法案。有关详情请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
谢卡拉，在我们开始之前呢，先来报道一个最新的消息，也就是关于伊朗宣布呢还是不重返伊朗核协议。那么这个决定呢，白宫刚才在星期天的下午发出的声明，声明当中说呢，即使对伊朗的决定我们感到失望，我们还是准备重启有意义的外交努力，来持续推动双方回到遵守伊朗核协议的内容。我们将持续与伊朗的核协议6国，也就是所谓的 P5+1 来进行商讨最好的做法。那么刚才所提到呢，这个美国的情报总监海恩斯在星期五将一份解密的这个报告送交到国会。这个报告当中呢，彰显了说沙特阿拉伯的王储萨勒曼呢是批准了在沙特驻土耳其领事馆当中来杀害沙特的异议人士，即华盛顿邮报的专栏作家卡舒吉。那么在报告公布了之后呢，美国国务卿布林肯就宣布对76位骚扰并且攻击记者还有维权人士者进行了这个签证的限制。那么这个在之后呢，国会的众议院议长佩洛西也针对卡舒吉遭到杀害的解密报告提出一个声明。第一个先说呢，美国政府要基于这份报告重新评估并且定位与沙特阿拉伯的关系，并且说呢，美国国会与拜登总统站在一起，促进关于侵犯人权的透明度，以及呢能够支持增进我们安全、捍卫价值观并且保护利益的伙伴关系，并且要求行政当局要来要求沙特阿拉伯负起责任啊，包括呢与这个全球马格尼斯基法案相关，以及侵犯人权、拒绝签证等等。那这个佩洛西最后也说呢，众议院当中的民主党人也正在推出法案，为纪念卡舒吉毕生所为，将会针对来制裁严重侵犯记者的这个沙特的人。那白宫的发言人沙奇呢，在今天的 CNN 的节目当中呢，也针对为什么不直接制裁沙特的王储而做出了回答。他表示说呢，他们相信还有更有效的方式来确保这样子的事情不会再发生，同时呢还能保留空间来与沙特在有双边和协议的方面合作，而那些方面呢是美国的国家利益。此外呢，拜登总统在星期六的时候前往德拉华州的温明顿市老家之前，离开白宫之前呢，他也回应了记者关于是否制裁这个王储的问题。我们看一下拜登总统在白宫的草坪上是怎么说的。
There'll be an announcement on Monday of what we're going to be doing with Saudi Arabia, General. Thank you.
而在新冠疫情的部分呢，我们知道美国的众议院在星期六的凌晨呢，以219票对212票投票通过了拜登总统所要的这个综合的疫情纾困方案，高达1.9万亿美元。那么没有一个共和党人投下了赞成票。那么在这个法案呢，将会为商业、政府以及因应新冠病毒疫情影响的数以百万计的美国人提供援助。那拜登总统呢，星期六也在白宫针对众议院通过了这法案发表他的声明。我们看一下拜登总统在白宫是怎么说的。
Now the bill moves to the United States Senate, where I hope we will receive quick action. We have no time to waste. If we act now, decisively, quickly, and boldly, we can finally get ahead of this virus. We can finally get our economy moving again. And the people of this country have suffered far too much for too long. We need to relieve that suffering.The American Rescue Plan does just that. It relieves the suffering, and it's time to act. I thank you all for being here. Appreciate it.
此外我们也知道呢，这个美国的这个已经通过了紧急授权给这个美国的强生公司的新冠病毒的疫苗。那这个疫苗呢，只要接种一剂就可以达到85%的有效的程度。那么强生公司呢，在2月27号就针对他们的疫苗受到的批准发出了声明，声明当中说呢，接种28天之后，他们的研究显示，这个疫苗在所有的研究区域当中，对于预防重度新冠肺炎的总体保护效率为85%，并且证明可以预防因为新冠肺炎引起的住院跟死亡。而强生公司的执行委员会副主任暨首席科学官也表示说呢，尤为重要的是，我们的疫苗在发生不同变异的病毒株的国家当中，也可以起到保护的作用。那我们知道这款疫苗特别受到重视，一方面是因为它只要打一剂就可以生效，另外呢，它是不需要这个超低温，在这个冰箱的常温就可以保存跟运送。那美国政府呢，已经购买了1亿剂的强生新冠的疫苗，预计呢，从3月初开始的这个星期就会开始配送，大约有3万剂到4万剂的强生公司新冠疫苗。卡拉，
好了，感谢耀毅发自白宫的报道。美国国防部发言人科比表示，此前发表的有关美国支持日本拥有对尖阁诸岛的主权的说法有误，并公开道歉。科比周五承认，他本月23日在尖阁诸岛主权问题上的说法是错误的。事实上，美国政府认同日本拥有尖阁诸岛的行政管辖权，但并没有明确认同日本拥有尖阁诸岛的主权。科比重申，美国在尖阁诸岛的主权问题上的政策没有变化，同时强调说，美国对包括尖阁诸岛在内的日本防卫立场做出的承诺不会动摇。美国国防部表示，已经将超高音速武器的发展列为一项最先优先要务，以对抗中国和俄罗斯在这个领域构成的威胁。国防部说，已经开发了一项超高音速武器的现代化战略，内容包括开发空中、地面和海上发射的超高音速常规攻击武器。美国的目标是在2030年代中期提交这种能力。美国司法部近日发表声明，称一名居港中国商人因涉嫌串谋偷窃通用电器的商业机密而被起诉。司法部2月26日的声明说，现年64岁的吴志龙因涉嫌在2017到2018年间与他人串谋窃取通用电器公司价值数百万美元的碳化硅技术的商业机密，于2月25日被起诉。司法部誓言打击此类非法的破坏经济秩序的行为。美国有线电视新闻网 CNN 近日有报道指出，中国在过去一年多的时间里，通过左右舆论等方式试图洗白新冠疫情的真相，并对揭露真相者进行打压。他们揭露真相者记录了中国官方在抗击新冠疫情时未能及时对公众和国际社会公开实情，但他们的信息与中国政府宣传的论调并不一致，许多人被拘押甚至失踪。在过去的一年里，中国官方散布有关新冠疫情是来自美国的说法，试图控制舆论导向。新冠疫情目前已经在全球造成超过200万人死亡。香港47名民主活动人士星期天被控阴谋颠覆国家政权罪，不得保释。这是港版国安法实施以来，港府当局对反对派进行的最大规模的一次镇压。香港警方国安处1月6日拘捕了包括上述47人在内的50多名泛民主派港人。警方指控这些人士去年7月参与泛民举办的初选，犯下港版国安法中的颠覆国家政权罪。1月初被抓捕的泛民人士，除已被关押或者服刑的黄之锋、胡志伟、谭德志之外，其他人均获得保释。他们原定于4月8日前往警署报到，却被通知提前到2月28日报到。香港警方表示，所有被捕人士将会被扣留至星期一上午11时在西九龙裁判法院提堂。欧盟驻香港办事处呼吁立即释放被捕者，声明表示，欧盟非常关注针对这47名民主人士的指控，这清楚表明香港将不再容忍合法的政治多元化。我们敦促当局遵守基本法和公民权利和政治权利公约对基本自由和法治的承诺。 华盛顿香港民主委员会在推特上引述总监朱慕民的话说，我谴责香港当局今天采取的行动，指控47名香港人阴谋颠覆国家政权，他们所谓的犯罪是敢于参与选举和担任民意代表为民众发声，这是中共最担心的事，人民的意志。香港警方1月6号拘捕的55名泛民人士当中，罗冠聪和张坤阳已流亡英国。罗冠聪星期天在推特上回应说，在香港歌唱自由香港，挥舞黑旗，参与初选，与外媒进行访谈，发推文批评中国，这些都足以被视为威胁国家安全，并被判终身监禁。虚伪的中共称香港为自由城市。美裔律师关尚义周日应香港警方传唤，前往位于将军澳的警局报到。关尚义是因参与组织2020年香港立法会民主派初选而被捕的唯一的外籍人士。他目前尚未受到指控，但是在采访时表达了对于被指控民主派人士的支持。来看报道。
首位在香港因国安法被捕的外籍人士美裔律师关尚义周日应香港警方传唤前往警局报到。在进入位于将军澳的警局大楼前，他接受采访，表达了对香港社会的信心。
And I think that we must maintain the positive view that Hong Kong people have had for so many years of being able to build a better society based on human rights and working for democracy, that people working togetherEventually, we'll have a better society in Hong Kong.
关尚义自60年代起以基督教传教士的身份到香港生活，之后成为律师。他能讲流利的广东话，多年与香港民主派关系密切。2020年7月，民主派阵营举办不具有法律约束力的初选，希望确定人选，角逐原定于2020年9月进行的香港立法会选举。之后，香港特区政府以新冠疫情为由，决定将该立法会选举延后一年。2021年1月6日，香港警方以涉嫌颠覆国家政权罪为由，逮捕了53名参与民主派初选的人士，包括关尚义在内的一部分人随后获准保释，但要随时接受警方问讯。
Recently, a lawyer friend of mine commented that even those who are not detainedwithin custody of the police are still living in a increasingly constricted detention center of Hong Kong, with the freedoms and the rights of people being constrained more and more. And in that sense, we are all living in a certain degree of detention because of this increasing pressure.
周日有47名香港民主和活动人士被警方以颠覆国家政权起诉，他们将于周一出庭受审。
The other thing I'd like to say is that even though I am not charged personally, at least at this stage, I will give full support to those who have been charged and will be facing trial, because from my perspective,They have done nothing wrong.
美国之音新闻报道。
一年一度的美国保守派行动大会周末在佛罗里达州奥兰多举行。这个活动致力于探讨保守派运动的未来。这场活动于周日结束，前总统特朗普在闭幕当天发表讲话。最近一段时间，纽约市发生多起针对亚裔的暴力事件。数百名民众星期六在曼哈顿下城举行反歧视示威，多名纽约政要到场表示支持。来看报道。
亚裔反歧视集会在曼哈顿下城的富力广场举行。参议院多数党领袖查克·舒默、纽约市长白思豪和多名亚裔民选官员参加了这次集会。纽约市长白思豪说，他已经指令纽约警方增加在地铁系统整地的巡逻，防范针对亚裔的犯罪行为。
We will not accept hatred in New York City. Stop Asian hate. This is the message we have to get out, not just in New York City, but all over this country. Stop Asian hate. Stop it now.
纽约时报报道说，据亚裔民间团体统计，美国自新冠疫情爆发以来，总共发生了大约3000起向警方报案的针对亚裔暴力事件，其中至少有260起发生在纽约市。
From the Filipino man who was slashed across the face on a New York City subway to the Asian American woman in my district who was violently shoved to the ground. So many Asian Americans literally live in fear and are afraid to leave their homes.Because they don't know what might happen to them.
曾经在美国职业篮球联盟 NBA 效力的华裔球员林书豪日前也在脸书上发文，称自己曾经在比赛中被称作新冠病毒。林书豪没有提及这起事件的具体时间和地点，但是他呼吁亚裔美国人捍卫自己的平等权益。美国之音电视新闻。
美国之音中文部专访国务院主管欧洲与欧亚事务的副助理国务卿莫莉·蒙哥马利，讨论美国重建与欧洲盟友的伙伴关系以及如何应对中国带来的挑战。来看美国之音国务院记者站主任张荣香的独家专访。
Good morning, Dr. Montgomery. Thank you so much for talking to VOA.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
What is a policy priority in EUR Bureau in coming years?
Absolutely. Well, I think the president has made it very clear beginning with his inaugural address that our priority really is to rebuild our relationships with our allies and partners in Europe. We believe that they are the cornerstone of everything that we are trying to do, whether that is fighting COVID-19 or climate change or pushing back against malign activities from Russia and China. We want to be working with our European partners. But we also, I will say, we also continue to believe that our goal for Europe is really a Europe whole, free, prosperous, and at peace. So we'll be working toward that goal for the next 4 years.
You mentioned China. As we know, China is competing with the United States in vaccine distribution and post-pandemic recovery. What is your takeaway of the recent 17+1 bloc virtual summit between China and some Central and Eastern European nations?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think all countries, whether it's the United States or Europe, have a multifaceted and very complex relationship with China. There are parts of that relationship that are adversarial. Some of it is competitive. And there are also areas where we want to cooperate with China. And so I think our focus really is working on a multilateral basis with our allies and partners to strengthen our cooperation and to look at areas where we can cooperate with China, such as on climate change, but also to be aware that there are activities, economic activities, that we want to push back on. There are threats to our values, and there are human rights violations, such as we've seen in Xinjiang and Hong Kong, and particularly the genocide that the U.S. government has been very clear has been committed against mostly Muslim Uyghurs in China. And so we're really focused on working with our allies and our partners to develop an affirmative agenda as we look at this complex relationship with China and to defend our values and our shared interests as well.
You mentioned Xinjiang and Uyghurs. We are hearing some voices from European countries doubting the United States is wavering on its position of the policy determination that Chinese suppression against Uyghurs is genocide. Is the United States wavering?
The United States has been very clear, Secretary Blinken has been very clear, that we believe that what has happened in Xinjiang is genocide, that we have seen crimes against humanity committed against the Uyghurs. And we've been very clear that these are very serious crimes and that there needs to be accountability. We have condemned these activities, these crimes, and we have made it clear that we need to see a stop to these human rights violations, to forced sterilizations, to torture, to other crimes that have been perpetrated primarily against mostly Muslim Uyghurs in Xinjiang especially.
Moving on to vaccine distribution, as we know, Serbia and Hungary have become the first European countries to use China's Sinopharm COVID vaccines. As we know, many countries are still relying on American company Pfizer. Is there a divide? Is Washington, is the United States pressing European countries to choose between Washington and Beijing?
No, you know, we are not asking countries to make a choice between the United States and China. At the same time, we believe that we are strongest when we work together to promote and to protect our shared values and interests. And so that's why you've seen that we have been, this administration has engaged very actively in the first month of the administration in multilateral fora, that we are working with allies and partners, as well as with countries like China, to promote global health security. We want to work together to see an end to this pandemic. But at the same time, we also know that China uses the multilateral system to promote its own interests and to undermine some of our shared values. And so we want to work very closely with our partners and our allies to protect those interests and to push back where we see that China is trying to undermine the rules-based international order.
How confident is the United States to work with its European allies to have a unified approach toward China after the EU-China investment? Is the United States caught by surprise?
Well, we really look forward to having early consultations with the EU on this investment agreement. And I think you've heard from Secretary Blinken, from others, I know our allies have certainly heard, that we're eager to look for areas where we can cooperate on China on the basis of our shared values and to promote our mutual interests. And listen, if China did make additional concessions in that agreement on things like market access, on forced labor, we certainly welcome that, although we really would look to the Chinese to prove that that's not just cheap talk and that they're going to implement those commitments. And so we really look forward to having conversations moving forward with the EU and with our European allies and partners about working together on these issues.
If I may ask about Kosovo elections, what is the takeaway of the elections? Is the prospect of Kosovo-Serbia dialogue dimmer?
Well, we certainly continue to support the EU-facilitated Belgrade-Pristina dialogue and to look toward a comprehensive agreement, a normalization agreement that would lead to mutual recognition or on the basis of mutual recognition. And so that will be our goal moving forward.
Do you envision a U.S. brokered Serbia Kosovo dialogue in the Biden administration?
Well, we're really committed to working with the EU, which facilitates the dialogue, and with our partners in tandem. This is, I think, a very important principle for our engagement in the Western Balkans. We know that we have been most successful there when we have worked hand in glove or shoulder to shoulder with our European allies and partners. And so that's going to be our approach.
This year marks a 30-year anniversary of the V4. In your vision, how is the U.S. going to work with the V4 in coming years?
Well, you've seen that we have congratulated the V4, the countries of the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, and Slovakia on 30 years of cooperation in the Visegrad Group format. And we really look forward to partnering with them on shared challenges, everything from COVID-19 to climate to things like strengthening our democracies and independent media.
Thank you so much for talking to VOA.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
一年一度的美国保守派行动大会周末在佛罗里达举行，在周日闭幕式当天，前总统特朗普发表了讲话。来看报道。
前国务卿蓬佩奥周六在会议上讲话，捍卫了他任期内的工作和成就。
Yeah, since I last saw you, the Chinese have sanctioned me. The Iranians don't think so much of me either. But I'm proud of our fight,
and I'm proud of our accomplishments and that we have truly upended the status quo.
为期三天的大会让数千名保守派人士聚集在奥兰多，对他们中很多人来说，他们最期盼的就是前总统特朗普借此平台回归。
And they're not going to take my freedom of speech away, and this is why I am here. And I'm here to support President Trump, all the way. He is the best president in my lifetime, and, he has done more for us than all the other presidents put together.
主要的国会保守派议员包括参议员克鲁兹、科顿、霍利以及众议员斯卡利斯、盖茨等人也在这场大会上发表讲话，他们同时也是特朗普的忠实支持者。不过另一方面，共和党内也有反对特朗普的声音。众议院共和党第三号人物利兹切尼本周早些时候表示，鉴于1月6日发生的冲击国会事件，他认为特朗普不应该继续在共和党内充当任何角色。他也是在对特朗普的第二次弹劾中投下赞成票的十位共和党人之一。切尼并未出席这次大会。参议院少数党领袖麦康奈尔、前副总统彭斯和前驻联合国大使黑利等知名共和党人士也都没有到场。然而众议院少数党领袖共和党的凯文麦卡锡却持不同意见，他认为特朗普应该在保守派行动大会上发表讲话，这显示了共和党内部不断扩大的裂痕。美国之音电视报道。
在美国，越来越多的药房和零售商开始向公众提供新冠疫苗。那么接种新冠疫苗需要哪些资格？预约注册的程序又是怎样的？来看美国之音记者鲍荣和刘恩民发自弗吉尼亚州的报道。
美国最大的药品零售商之一 CVS 正在全美24个州以及波多黎各的门店向公众免费提供新冠疫苗注射，其中也包括美国首都华盛顿特区附近的弗吉尼亚州还有马里兰州。我现在所在的就是弗吉尼亚州菲尔法克斯郡的一家 CVS， 这里是整个弗吉尼亚州提供疫苗注射的38家 CVS 之一。要在弗吉尼亚州的 CVS 注射疫苗，必须满足65岁以上的年龄条件，并且需要提前向当地卫生部门注册资格。根据 CVS 官网的信息，每个州目前对疫苗的接受者的资格的要求各有不同。有的州 CVS 已经向应急工作者、学生、教师还有孕妇等群体提供疫苗。 CVS 表示，他们的疫苗来自辉瑞还有莫德纳两家公司，目前每个注射点只提供2种疫苗中的一种，但是 CVS 也表示说，随着注射点的增加，人们将可以在网上查询这些注射点提供哪种疫苗，并且做出选择。此外，由于注射点的数量有限，公众需要提前在 CVS 的网上预约，并且被要求同时预约第一剂还有第二剂疫苗的注射时间，以保证疫苗注射的完整性还有有效性。而在弗吉尼亚州，预约系统常常显示订满的状态。
Tuesday before that, whatever that date was, the 9th, I think they opened it up for only, I think, 26,000 slots, and I got on the computer right away and made an appointment. It was incredibly easy, actually, to make an appointment. And when I got here, they had everything very organized, and there was no wait, even.
截止2月24日，整个弗吉尼亚州已经注射了超过160万剂疫苗，将近14%的人口至少接受了一剂疫苗，与全美的数据接近。CVS 表示说，在供应充足的前提下，每个月将能够提供2000万到2500万剂疫苗。
No, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be 95% effective, and I support everybody who can get it. Concern is that they're moving so slowly.Here to get people vaccinated.
在全美，注射新冠疫苗都是免费的。对于有医疗保险的人群来说，这笔费用由保险公司支付，而美国卫生及公共服务部门将负担没有医保的人群的疫苗费用。与此同时，越来越多的药房还有零售店也开始提供疫苗注射的服务，包括 Walgreens、沃尔玛、Giant 等等。
Travel. I mean, I'm partially retired, and that's what we were planning to, you know, our kids are gone, so we're planning to do things. So I already have reservations to travel in the fall. That's what we want to do is, you know.
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。